From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Adrian Arch Center in Miami, Florida, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We have got a great show for you today. We've got author Carl Hiaasen coming on to play our game later. Yeah, it is good. But first, a personal complaint from me. With the big blizzard this week, everybody, you know, all the media sent cameras to Chicago, and they filmed the stalled cars and the snowdrifts. And they were like, ha-ha, we thought Chicagoans were so tough, can't deal with a little snowstorm. Well, I am a Chicagoan, and I knew exactly how to deal with a snowstorm. I flew to Miami. You can join us from wherever you're trying to keep warm. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is LaWanda.
Hey, LaWanda, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Baltimore, Maryland.
I guess I can do this all show. I'll ask, how's the weather there? And then I'll laugh. So, how's the weather in Baltimore?
Well, it is cold, and we do have snow, but it's nothing compared to what's going on in the rest of the country. We've actually been lucky.
Right. So. LaWanda, it's great to have you. Let me introduce you to our panel. First up, it's television personality and contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca, right there.
Hi, LaWanda.
Hi, LaWanda. CBS Sunday Morning.
Well, thank you, LaWanda. I love you in Baltimore.
Next is one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Ms. Roberts. Hello.
And finally, it's a comedian and a winner of Last Comic Standing, Mr. Alonzo Bowden.
Hello,
Hi,
LaWanda.
Mr. Bowden.
Hi, LaWanda. Welcome to Miami.
Hi. Thank you.
Now, LaWanda, you're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle, of course, will start us off, as he most often does, three quotations from the week's news.
Okay.
If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, your first quote, Carl is reading from a sign that was held up in protests this week.
Go already. My arm is starting to hurt.
That sign was held up by a protester where?
Egypt?
Yes, in Egypt, yes.
Yay!
So, tough week for King Tut, as he lost the title of the only Egyptian Americans have ever heard of. Now we add to that list the autocratic president Hosni Mubarak, the opposition leader Mohamed El Baradei, and whoever it was that punched Anderson Cooper in the face. The Egyptian people took to the streets to protest the repressive regime there. President Mubarak responded by cutting off their internet. That was a bad move. The people were like, well, if I can't stay home and watch baby camel cams, I'm taking to the streets. Now, one of the things going on is the revolt caught the world by surprise, including the Obama administration. They had to scramble to keep up all week. In their first official statement, they referred to our friend, Hosni Mubarak. Then he was just our acquaintance. Then he was that guy, Houri or Hassan or what's his face. We don't know. By the end of the week, the White House really turned on him. They were fed up. They delivered a blow to the regime by demanding Mubarak show his birth certificate.
You know what my favorite part is so
far? What is your favorite part?
The camels, all right?
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
I, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you're in the middle. Your country is in upheaval. And all of a sudden, these guys come riding through on camels. And I keep thinking, well, where do you go to get a camel?
I know. It's very Cecil B. DeMille. It's very well produced. It's very lavish. I have to say that watching the entertainment shows cover this is perhaps the only amusing element of all of this.
Well, what do you mean?
Entertainment Tonight has been covering it, and it's as if they're watching a movie. I mean, seriously, it's like playing the embattled reporter. It's Silver Fox Anderson Cooper.
To me, what's interesting is like there, because everybody's talking about it, so everybody's asking everybody who doesn't know what's going on about it. Like Piers Morgan was interviewing Mitt Romney about the Egyptian crisis. Mitt Romney?
He's right on top of things in Egypt.
He can't.
Mitt is on the pulse of Egypt at every moment. I mean, why wouldn't you just pick people at random to talk to?
Are there no Egyptians left in the world? We have to talk to Mitt Romney?
Well, he knows. I would
talk to Brendan Fraser. He was in the mummy, which took place in Egypt.
The Mummy.
Before I talked to Mitt Romney. But Wanda, here is your next quote.
Okay.
Shovel, sleep, repeat.
Those are instructions given in the Boston Globe this week. They were telling people what to do because of what?
The big snowstorm.
Indeed, the huge snowstorm this week.
Yes.
It was snow, my God. The snow-tato famine. Snow cane snowverdotes. It was terrible. The only person who didn't seem to mind all the snow was Charlie Sheen. He was plowing his driveway with $100 bill shoved up his nose.
Well, he had his own kind of snow.
That's true. You know.
And here in Miami, they can relate to that kind of snow.
Exactly.
This storm this week made history, not because of the snowfall or the temperature. It was because for once the weather forecasters said it would be huge, and they were right. And all of us, particularly our friends in Chicago, were excited to experience something called thunder snow for the first time. Thunder snow. It's a thrill. But now thunder snow has been done, so the weather has to up its game. That opens the door to more hybrid weather. We're looking forward to hurricanes. The dreaded tornado cane. Did you guys experience the weather this week, or did you get out of it?
Well, in L.A., it dropped to 50. Mm.
Heavens for Fenn!
And I didn't. I heard it got in the 40s, but I don't go out below 50.
I understand.
That was enough for us.
You're just barricaded inside the house, laying in supplies.
Waiting for one of those hurricanes to hit.
Yep. Let's move on. Your last quote, football player known for his brutal hits.
I don't want to hurt nobody. I just want to tackle them softly. And if y'all can, lay a pillow down so they don't hit the ground too hard.
That was a man named James Harrison talking about the gentle way he wants to play what big game this weekend?
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, yes. This year's big game comes at the end of a season in which the NFL professed to be finally concerned about roughness and injuries in the field. So, as you heard, this game will have all the violence and blood of a game of Candyland. Candyland, played by monstrous, steroidal men crazed with bloodlust. Oh my God, Joe, I think he just snapped Princess Peppermint's femur. Are you guys excited about the game?
I'm obsessed with the hair this time.
Well, the hair is amazing.
The only thing I can figure is that these guys are so secure in their masculinity that they can just do whatever they want.
I think that, you know, just looking at football players, once you hit 6'5", 300 pounds of solid muscle, the term secure in your manhood never really comes up.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Yeah.
You're pretty safe on that one.
Sure.
Yeah, you're telling like Pamalu, what's his name?
Yeah.
He could like do it in pigtails.
Oh, he's
going to say
it. He could French braid his hair. Yeah.
If you're a quarterback, you're like, those are really nice braids, Troy. Could you not hit me?
One of the cool things about the Super Bowl is the team nicknames. No, the Packers and the Steelers were both named in an era not for animals or concepts, but for you know, what people did, the tough jobs that made those cities special back in the day. And it would be great if they enforced that rule today. We'd be cheering on teams like the Portland Baristas. The New York Hedge Fund Managers.
Oh, the Vegas Hookers. Oh, the Vegas doesn't have one.
No.
A team. They should get one. Yeah. What's legal there, right?
Yes. Okay, yeah. The Vegas Perfectly Innocent Escorts.
Yes.
Carl, how did LaWanda do in our quiz?
How did I do?
LaWanda, congratulations. You were perfect. Yes. 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Yay!
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Well done, LaWanda. Thank you so much for playing, LaWanda.
Wonderful.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, a British immigration official is in the doghouse with his wife after he did what?
He deported her.
I'm actually...
I mean, I really,
that would have been slightly simpler.
I have no idea, but I like it.
You're close. You're so close, I'm going to give it to you. What he did was he put her on the terrorist watch list. And I know, three quarters of you are appalled, and the other quarter is going, how does that work? What happened was his wife was visiting her family in Pakistan, and he's like, wow, I'm enjoying this time alone. I'm really going to need to know myself. I'd like to keep it going. So he put her name on the list of people who were not allowed to enter Britain, where they live. So don't worry, though. She was able to sort it all out and come home 3 years later.
And how is the happy couple doing now?
Well, the move was not good for their relationship. It may be good for all of ours because it really sets a new standard. It's like, sure, he forgot Valentine's Day, but at least he didn't put me in the terrorist watch list and trap me in Pakistan.
Because I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Kurt from Boston.
Hey, Kurt, how are things in Boston? How's the weather?
Well, it's not much better than Chicago, I imagine, gladly trade places with Miami if that's what it comes to.
Are you guys willing? Would you trade places with Boston right now? Kurt, it's really nice to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Kurt's topic?
Why, there ought to be a law.
Everyone has their pet peeve, a small annoyance that for whatever reason drives you crazy. But what if you could bring the power of the state to bear on it? Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about actual attempts to ban unpleasant things. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or your voicemail. Ready to play?
Sure am.
First, let's hear from Alonzo Bowden.
Illegal farting causes a big stink. Breaking wind is set to be a crime in an African country. The government of Malawi plans to punish persistent offenders who foul the air in a bid to mold responsible and disciplined citizens. Locals fear that pinning responsibility on the crime may be difficult. One Malawian told the website AfricanNews.com, what happens in a public place where a group is gathered? Do they lock up half a minibus or the whole elevator? Children will openly deny having passed bad air and point at an elder who would point at the dog. Another said, we have serious issues facing Malawians today. I do not know how fouling the air should take priority over regulating Chinese investments or serious graft amongst legislatures. The crime will be enforceable in a new local court system, which will also have the powers to punish a range of other crimes. No word on what the other crimes may be, but burpers beware.
Government of Malawi in Africa attempts to ban the passing of gas. Your next story of an attempt to make something that's annoying illegal comes from Roxanne Roberts.
The days when Rover is forced to wear a pink polka dot raincoat and matching boots are coming to an end if a new ban on doggy outfits is passed in Stockholm. Animal rights advocates have proposed legislation preventing any costume, hat, booties, or any other, quote, unnatural and humiliating accessory imposed by their owner. Undercover video taken by the activists showed that dogs wearing cutesy outfits not only interacted less with other dogs at parks and playgrounds, but appeared more depressed and listless than their natural counterparts. Dogs would be allowed to wear coats in cold weather, but only if fabrics that approximately match their fur. The one exception to the ban, owners can dress their dogs in any costume on Halloween. Quote, we are not humorless, activist Annalisa Adams told the International Herald Tribune. We just want to preserve the self-esteem of our canine partners.
Saving the dignity of dogs from their overly fashion-conscious owners, your last story of a new law banning a pet peeve is from Morocco.
Fans of the minor league Brooklyn Cyclones of Coney Island are famously boisterous, even by Brooklyn standards. Whether the team wins or loses, the crowd screams and shouts. Now that may be changing. It's terribly distracting, says newly appointed stadium manager Stanley Bohorek. Bohorek, a former house manager at the Metropolitan Opera, wants to bring civility to minor league baseball. To that end, he's instituted a strict no-talking policy during games to take effect this spring. Quote, a baseball game is a story in nine acts, Bohorek explains. Chit-chatting and yammering ruins it for audience members who want to get lost in the story. From now on, fans will be allowed to applaud after each inning is completed. If a fan talks more than twice in a game, an usher will remove that fan. Quote, these are not unreasonable rules, says Bohorek. You can still boo if you're not happy with a particular performance. Our Carmen last season at the Met got booed plenty, and believe me, she deserved it. But please, this is Coney Island, not Rikers Island.
All right. Let's review your choices from Alonzo Bowden, an attempt to ban the passing of gas in Malawi. From Roxanne Roberts, an attempt to make it illegal to dress dogs in a manner unbefitting their stature and status as dogs. Or from Mo Rocca, an attempt to keep the crowd civil at a minor league baseball game. Which of these is the real story about somebody trying to make an annoyance against the law?
I'm going to have to go with Alonzo, I think.
You're going to go with Alonzo? You think
I know it seems crazy, but...
It seems crazy, but it just might be true. Well, that's your choice then, Alonzo's story. Well, we spoke to someone who actually covered this as a journalist.
In England, we talk about he who smelt it dealt it. So there is a danger that people who accuse people of farting might then have the tables turned on them.
That was Stefan Simanowicz. He's a freelance reporter who covers Africa news for the Daily Mail. And yes, he tells that it really is true. They're trying to ban farting in Malawi. Congratulations, Kurt. You got it right. You're in the point for Alonzo. You've won our prize. Carl Castle recorded the greeting on your home answering machine. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we invite famous people on to answer questions about obscure things. There are some authors associated with a place who just make you dream of going there. You want to visit Norman MacLean's Montana, or Armistead Maupin's San Francisco, Sarah Palin's Alaska. And then there's an author who writes about South Florida so vividly with such realism that it's a miracle that anyone ever comes to visit at all. Carl Hyacin is a Florida native. He's been documenting Florida's rush to the apocalypse in dozens of novels like Striptease and Skin Tight and the Newbery Honor-winning Hoot. We are delighted to have him with us. Carl Hyacin, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. When last we spoke to you, we were really interested in basically a question, which is, you write about South Florida in your novels, which are very funny, but shall we say, very hostile to certain things about South Florida, as represented in your fiction. And you keep writing these novels, and yet you are still here.
I am.
So you're still here, even the last two or three years in Florida's history, and you're still not leaving.
The material is so terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, for a writer, whether it for a columnist or for a novelist, it's a hard place to leave. And we have lots of writers pouring into Florida just because of our weirdness.
So really?
I feel like I have to stake out. Yeah. I mean, I think Stephen King probably spends more time in Florida now than he does up north. I'm pretty sure he does. I'm serious. Yeah, I think he does. And I think he's horrified.
Really? Finally
he is. Yeah.
Finally we've discovered what could frighten Stephen King.
That's right.
Before you go further, can you give us a one sentence on the nature of the weirdness? Because everyone knows of the weirdness, but not the why of the weirdness.
Well, I think it's sort of an amiable depravity, I would describe it as. You know, we're all in this together. This is really, Florida has always been a magnet for outlaws and scoundrels and sort of a predatory element. we have, for many years, we were flooded with retirees from up north.
Yes.
And the people moved with that herd down here to prey upon them.
Right.
And,
so, and I mean, that's almost like a Mutual of Omaha kind of scenario.
Is, yeah.
And here come the herds of buffalo.
It's no, it's
trailing them, the vultures.
It's the wildebeest on the Serengeti.
Yeah.
Only here.
Right.
And the rest
of us. The wildebeest are all driving Cadillacs very slowly.
That's right.
So let's talk about the last couple of years since last we spoke. To me, one of the more interesting things that you've done is elect your new governor, Mr. Rick Scott.
Mm, yeah.
Which is... Now, Rick Scott, who we
this
haven't mentioned
great.
On the show before because we were afraid no one would believe it. This is his first elected office.
Right.
And his prior experience was running a healthcare company which defrauded the federal government out of about $1 billion.
Yes, it was the biggest Medicare fraud in the history of Medicare. Mm.
Right. And so explain to me, as a native Floridian, mm-hmm. the mindset that says, this is just the man to handle all of our affairs.
Well, it's sort of the same reason that I've always advocated that felons should be allowed to vote. Because who better qualified to judge the politicians
exactly.
in our state?
Right, right.
But getting back to Scott, he ran a very, very successful campaign. He spent, I don't know, $78, $80 million of his own money, which
yes.
used to be our money.
Our money, yeah.
But he had one of the greatest campaign slogans ever, which was, hey, they never indicted me. And, you know, no Floridian could resist that.
That's true.
Yeah.
If you could, if you had sort of magical powers, would you make Florida normal, or do you actually kind of
oh,
like
no,
it?
Oh, no. That would be terrible. It would be,
yeah.
You know, Florida's never going to... It's nothing I would have to worry about if I had... If I had magical powers, I mean, I think there wouldn't be a bad thing to go back to the day where there were saber-toothed tigers that took care of certain members of the species.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, I mean, I think as you drive around, the more you're here, you'll understand this. That,
yeah.
That there are times when you wish that the saber-toothed tigers were still were still here.
Really?
Just, I'm just going
to
leave
call
it
the
that.
Herd a little bit.
Call
well,
the herd,
we've
exactly.
covered stories in Florida of people, for example, the guy who let an alligator babysit his three-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that it seems like Floridians are doing their own part to call their own herd. Your last book, the book before that, was actually a memoir about playing golf.
Oh,
picking
God.
Up golf again?
Yes, it was terrible. I'd given up golf for about 36 years, and I was persuaded to go back. It's probably the most disturbing book I've ever written, and it's nonfiction.
Really?
Why
disturbing?
Because of the things that happened to me and because some of the language was... I couldn't show that book to my mother ever.
You're one of those people who swear a lot on the golf course?
Yeah. Well, if you saw what happened, it's carnage. It's a terrible, dreadful sport. And so I started it up again, and a friend of mine, Mike Lupica, a sports writer,
oh, yeah.
Said... And I would call him up, and he's a good golfer, and I would tell him what had happened to me. That, you know, like one day I sunk a golf cart, and I thought...
Wait a minute.
You know...
Stop.
I sunk the golf cart, and I thought, well, this must
in ha- what?
In a lake.
All right.
Yeah, in a lake. And I thought, this must happen all the time, because
sure.
there's hills on golf courses.
And lakes.
And lakes, and if you don't set the brake, by golly, that's what happens. And I'm, to this day, insisting there was a brake problem. But anyway, so I call up Lupica. I would tell him these stories. There were snake incidents. There were a few other things that happened that weren't very pleasant. And he would just say, you've got to start keeping a diary. Because this doesn't happen to anybody else. And I said, you've never sunk a golf cart? He said, I've been playing golf since I was 6 years old. I don't even know anybody who sunk a golf cart. So that was why I wrote this book. It was called The Downhill Lie, and it was just about everything bad that had happened to me. There was an incident involving live rats and a 7-iron.
Were they live at the end of the story?
No, ma'am, they were not.
Well, Carl Hiaasen, we are really glad you're here. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Where we are from, frozen water falls from the sky.
You've lived your whole life in Florida, so what the hell do you know about winter? The only way that... You can tell the seasons are passing as the waxing and waning of snowbirds on the beach.
No. You know what? How you can tell?
How can you tell?
The color of the license tags change.
Really?
Am I right? That's how you know.
So, we are going to ask you about what we people from the northern climes do to enjoy ourselves in the winter. Get two of these questions right, you'll be a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Carl Hyacin playing for?
Carl is playing for Karen Eckstein of Orlando, Florida.
All right. Here's the first question. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. One sport, a winter sport, was invented, according to legend, by bored ski lift operators in the 1970s. Is it A, bong jumping, B, shovel racing, C, injury predicting?
I'm going to go with bong jumping.
You're going to go with bong jumping?
Yeah, because that sounds okay.
It sounds like fun. No, it was shovel racing. See, the ski lift operators all have shovels to remove the snow.
Yeah, right.
One day they were bored, gotten a shovel. Yeah, there you go.
That's okay.
Fine.
Yeah, fine.
Sorry.
Shovel racing.
Oh,
geez. All right.
There are other countries. Next question. There are other countries that have winter besides ours. One of these is a winter recreation somewhere else in the world. Is it A, shark ice fishing in Greenland? B, full contact figure skating in Siberia?
Oh, that's
or
great.
C, nude snowshoe racing in Norway.
Ooh. Oh, God.
That sounds too happy, right?
It does sound
Norway.
Happy, but you know what? I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go with what? What are you going to go with?
The nude, was it snowshoe?
It was nude, I think, yeah. Nobody's looking at the snowshoes, though. It was nude snowshoe racing in Norway. Now, do you think that's true or do you wish that were true?
You're probably right.
The other two were shark ice fishing in Greenland.
No, I'm going to go with the shark ice fishing.
You're right. It's shark ice fishing. You've yourself been known to wet a line, as I say. You like to fish.
Yes, I like
right.
To
so
fish,
you probably will understand the appeal then of walking out in a frozen bay in Greenland in the middle of winter, digging
one.
A very large hole and trying to catch a Greenland shark, which go up to about 21 feet.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing we miss here in Florida. With
ice fishing.
Yeah, it just kills us to
to know that you're missing out on that experience. Yeah. All right, you've got one for two. Get this one right, and you'll win. In 1918. The New York Times and other papers heralded a new hybrid winter sport that they thought was sure to catch on around the country. It was which of these? A, ice tennis, all the balls of tennis, none of the traction needed to get to them. B, ski jump wrestling, in which the guy on top, when they get to the end of the ramp, wins. Or C, ice brick dodgeball, the sport that nobody played more than once.
Well, I'm sorry, the first one again?
Ice tennis.
Wait, which publication? Did you say New York Times?
New York Times actually
New York
mentioned
Times
this, yes.
Mentioned
I think
that.
It's got to be tennis if the New York
ice
Times.
Ice tennis?
Yeah, because I don't think the New York
they're
Times.
They're a bunch of snobs. That's the sort of
they're
spot
not going to go for naked guys wrestling.
I didn't say anything about them being naked.
No. Oh. Sorry.
I was right there with you. I was right there.
All right. But your choice, for whatever sick reason, your choice was ice tennis.
I think it has to be.
And you're right. It is ice tennis.
We go.
Well done. One Illinois paper said of ice tennis, quote, it is expected that the idea will be imitated by many clubs throughout the country. That expectation was not met. Carl, how did Carl Hyacin do in our quiz?
Well, he had two correct answers, so Carl wins for Karen Eckstein. Congratulations.
All right. Good.
Well done. Carl Hyacin is an award-winning author and columnist. His latest book is Star Island. You must read it. Carl Hyacin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
For joining
me.
Us. Carl Hyacin, ladies and gentlemen, well done. Right now, panel, some more questions for you. Roxanne, Microsoft's search service Bing was created to compete with Google. It's tough to break through the monopoly on search that Google has, but Bing has done it. How, does it turn out, does Bing find things on the internet?
I never use Bing. This is a problem. I know it's shorter.
Well, it makes sense because, what do you do when you want to find something on the internet?
I search Google.
So does Bing. That's right. Microsoft could come up with its own way of doing internet searches, but come on. Why bother reinventing the wheel when you can spend your time playing Farmville? Google suspected that Bing was just copying its search results, so they laid a trap. They created a special search result that only Google would give you. And then 2 weeks later, Bing!
Wow.
Once caught, Bing did not deny it, but they said stealing Google searches is only one of their many proprietary search methods. They also steal Yahoo searches. And in a real pinch, they ask Jeeves. Roxanne, we remember Sharon Angle. She was the Tea Party candidate who came out of nowhere, nearly beat Harry Reid in Nevada's Senate race last year. Well, she didn't win a seat in the Senate, so now she is advising people on what?
This is one of my favorite stories of the week. She's going to be a makeup consultant.
Yes, makeup and beauty tips. 2 weeks ago, Ms. Angle appeared at a makeup event in Las Vegas called Glam and Gloss. That event promised that Ms. Angle would, quote, share her beauty and makeup challenges during the campaign and how she overcame them, unquote. Based on her election strategy, we assume she used Second Amendment solutions to beauty problems, perhaps the blush application shotgun, followed with the Beretta handheld 22 caliber highlight pistol. During the campaign, of course, Ms. Angle made news when she told a group of Hispanic students that she couldn't tell if they were Latino or Asian. This might explain her new line of foundation makeup that comes in two shades, normal people and indiscriminate foreigner. Alonzo, food regulations issued by the U.S. government have changed over time. We've had the four food groups, the food pyramid. Now the government has updated it once again, and its new advice to all Americans regarding food is what?
Eat less of it?
Yes, that's it. Just don't eat so much. The FDA is abandoning the more delicate food pyramid in favor of some straight talk. The official guideline is, quote, enjoy your food but eat less, unquote. I don't know if it's going to work. Americans say suggestions to eat less makes them hungry.
I never understood the food pyramid. The food pyramid just had, what? How did it work?
Well, the food pyramid was supposed to get you to eat more of one kind of food than another. So the base of the pyramid was grains and stuff like that, and then there's fruits and vegetables, and then there's meats, and there's, like, desserts at the top.
And then all the protesters around the food pyramid.
Exactly. Yes.
They're saying, stop eating, stop eating.
Alonzo, Wikipedia, it's in crisis. They have contributors from a score of countries writing in hundreds of languages, but they can't seem to get any entries from whom?
Egypt?
No. No. This strange problem might explain why on Wikipedia, which covers every topic under the sun, there are such limited entries on romance novels, Lifetime movies, empathy.
I wouldn't say women.
Yes, why not?
Women?
Women. Women.
Women are not writing into Wikipedia?
Women are not writing entries for Wikipedia. A year ago, the organization that runs Wikipedia ran a demographic study of its contributors. They found that they had fewer women than the Ben Roethlisberger fan club. Fewer than 15% of their contributors were female, which means entries of traditional female interest, like women's clothing, for example, get far less interest than things men are interested in, like women without clothing. Really, though, this finding should not be surprising to anyone who has come upon the blank page that is the Wikipedia entry for how to make a woman happy. Yeah. How could we get women to contribute to Wikipedia other than having Oprah turn to the camera and say, everybody contribute to Wikipedia?
Well, maybe if it were scented.
I think the best way to get women to correct Wikipedia is start every entry with, a man said.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and check out this week's Sandwich Monday entry on our blog. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, who's this?
This is Tracy calling from Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Stillwater, Oklahoma. Where there are some refugees here, apparently. And what do you do there in Stillwater?
I am a mom and a part-time church receptionist.
Oh, wow. But you, so how many kids do you have?
I have three little girls, and they are 9, 7, and 5.
Okay. It's snow days, I assume, right, this week?
Yes.
Did you do okay with the kids all stuck in the house?
Three snow days.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Did you do all day? Did you do all right stuck there in the house with your kids?
Well, everybody's still alive.
That's a plus.
That's good.
Well, welcome to the show, Tracy. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
I am.
Here is your first limerick.
My bug colony has but a scant charm. I'll keep them in glass where they can't harm. Now I watch them dig and lay eggs and grow big. In my room, I have set up an...
ant farm?
An ant farm, exactly right. This week, thousands, millions of ants paused in their endless labors to take in the news that Milton M. Levine, inventor of the ant farm, had died at the age of 97. Levine came up with the idea of the ant farm when reminiscing about his days at his uncle's farm in Pennsylvania, where he was encased in plastic and forced to tunnel for others' amusement.
I always thought an ant farm is real. I always thought it was like a flea circus. Like
no.
Made up.
No. In fact, if you get an ant farm, I never did, but I knew this. It's plastic. It's a box, and you fill it with sand. It's thin, so you can see the sand. And then it says, "Go out, get some ants, put them in it." Mm.
Doesn't the government subsidize it? Like way too much.
Funny, you get an ant farm, you can get $400 million from the government by not raising ants. All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
On trips, I got mad and have blown up at kids who have got sick and thrown up. But now I can fly without hearing them cry on this flight that is only for...
grown-ups!
Yes! You seem excited!
Yes!
By that concept!
She's rushing to the airport right now.
Oh, my gosh. She has been stuck in a house all week with children. This week, we read about the greatest innovation to hit the airline industry since airplanes. Adult-only flights.
That is genius.
If passenger surveys are to be believed, there's a crying baby in every row and every flight, so several major airlines are banning kids and creating quiet cabins. If this is successful, we look forward to bans on people who hog the armrest, seat kickers, people who talk to you even though you're wearing headphones.
Crying babies are a problem, especially on a red eye when you're flying overnight. I mean, I don't want to sound insensitive, but can't you put like the baby in the overhead?
I mean, they're small.
I wouldn't have the baby sliding all around. Like if you could secure it in the overhead.
Soundproof.
If you soundproof.
At the end of the flight, they're going, please be careful opening the overhead compartments. Your children may have shifted during flight. All right, very good. Here's your last limerick.
In China, we must show forbearance. Honor elders, lest we might go errant. If we don't go home, a lawyer might phone and force us to visit our...
parents.
Right. If you've been feeling guilty about not visiting your parents, be grateful that you don't live in China. This week, Chinese authorities announced a new rule that would make neglecting your parents a crime. Anyone found in violation of the law could be sued by their parents. The move has been largely applauded in China and is expected to pass, paving the way to similar legislation in southern Florida.
Well, I'm just trying to combine the idea of the you know, have to visit your parents law with the no children allowed on airline law.
That's true.
And I think the family unit's got a problem.
It's true. Carl, how did Tracy do in our quiz?
Tracy had 3 correct answers, Peter. So, Tracy, you win our prize.
All right.
Yay!
Thank you for playing, Tracy. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Peter, we have a tie for first place. Roxanne Roberts and Alonzo Bowden each has 3 points. Mm-hmm. Moraka has 2.
All right. Well, Mo, you're obviously in third place. You're going to go first, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. On Monday, a Florida judge ruled that the new blank law is unconstitutional and must be thrown out.
Health care.
Right, in spite of the huge storms hitting the country. On Tuesday, Pennsylvania's favorite groundhog, blank, predicted an early spring.
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's his name. Although he said the economy is stronger, on Thursday, Federal Reserve Chairman blank said more jobs are needed for real recovery.
Ben Bernanke.
That's his name. This week, NASA's Kepler mission identified 5 potential Earth-like blanks.
Planets?
Yes. No, Earth-like donuts. Officials suspect that a house fire in Portland, Oregon was caused by tenants who were using a blank as an ashtray.
Oh, a house fire. They were using a mattress.
They're using a hole in the floor. For people with a constant need to update their status, 7 airlines announced they would be providing free in-flight access to blank.
To Facebook.
Yes, indeed. On Wednesday, the New York City Council voted to extend their ban on blanking to include parks.
The New York City ban on smoking.
Yes. A woman in England told an animal rescue organization that she was returning a dog she had adopted because it blanked.
Barked.
Because it clashed with her curtains.
Oh.
The woman adopted Harvey, the Jack Russell Terrier, without realizing just how horribly the ginger and white dog would clash with her decor. When she explained this to the shelter, they suggested she put him in a different room. No luck. Apparently, she had a theme. There was a happy ending, however. Harvey was happy to return to the kennel, and the woman adopted a Burberry Schnauzer. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had a fine round. Peter had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Mo has the lead.
Well done, Mo. All right. We flipped a coin. Alonzo has elected to go next. Here we go. Saying all those colors are too busy, Comcast announced it would retire the peacock logo now that it has taken over blank.
NBC.
Right. Hoping to avoid a situation like that in Egypt, the king of blank dismissed his entire cabinet.
Jordan?
Yes. Verizon customers were excited this week to get their first chance to order a blank.
iPhone.
Right. Because Charlie Sheen is in rehab, CBS has put his show blank on hiatus.
2.5 Men.
Right. North Korea watchers said they can tell Kim Jong-un is about to take power because he blanked this week.
Mm. Spoke?
No, because he wore a furry hat previously worn only by Kim Jong-il. Oh, this week, George W. Bush's daughter, Barbara, came out in support of blank.
Gay marriage?
Yes. A Slovak man trapped in his car by an avalanche was able to escape by blank.
Drilling out.
Urinating his way out.
Same thing.
Bad news, an avalanche had trapped Richard Kroll in his Audi. Good news, he had 60 half-liter bottles of beer in the car.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
Well. So he warmed up the beer using a natural method, melted the snow, got out. Carl, how did Alonzo do on our quiz?
Alonzo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 13 points, but Mo Rocca still has the lead with 14.
All right, so how many then does Roxanne? Very good. How many then does Roxanne need to win?
6 correct answers.
6 correct answers. Can you do it, Roxanne?
We'll see.
All right. This is for the game, Roxanne. Fill in the blank. Still recovering from the recent floods, what has been described as the worst cyclone in the country's history hit blank.
Australia.
Right. According to his memoir due out next week, Donald Rumsfeld maintains that the blank war was worth the costs.
Iraq.
Right. Since the beginning of the year, 15 states have proposed tough immigration laws like the one in blank.
Arizona.
Right. Young Egyptians formed a human chain to keep looters away from the treasures of blank on display at the Egyptian Museum.
Tutankhamun.
Right. A burglar was quickly identified and arrested after he left his blank in the home he had robbed.
Cell phone.
Yes, he had plugged it in to charge it and forgot about it. The winter storm that hit Chicago Tuesday night tore off pieces of the iconic ballpark blank.
Wrigley Field?
Yes, indeed. In a statement on their website Wednesday, the rock band blank announced their breakup.
White Stripes.
Indeed. A Florida man who in the past 4 years has been stabbed with a knife, robbed at gunpoint, locked in a taxi trunk, and bitten by 2 snakes at the same time, this week made news when he blanked.
When he stood in line at the DMV.
No, when he was struck by lightning while talking on his phone. Although He's a wee bit accident prone. John Wade Agan apparently didn't think twice about talking on the phone while leaning over a metal sink during a raging storm. Some skeptics say Agan is nothing more than an attention seeker. However, they made sure to say that while standing a good 50 feet away from him. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed at least 6 correct answers to win. She had 7 correct answers. So with 17 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Roxanne! You're so smart, you should be editing Wikipedia. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the big shocking moment at this year's Super Bowl halftime show. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, offering 24/7 customer support and mobile apps. eSurance car insurance, people when you want them, technology when you don't. The Kauffman Foundation, working to advance innovations in education and entrepreneurial success. Learn more at kauffman.org. And Angie's List, providing consumer reviews on to local professionals. From physicians and veterinarians to plumbers and roofers, details at angieslist.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Nick Park. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Thanks also to the crew at the Adrian Arsch Center in Miami, Florida. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Shillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Special thanks this week to Patrick Murray and Arnie Seipel for flying in our hour of need. Now, panel, what will be this year's big surprise at the Super Bowl halftime show? Roxanne Roberts.
House Speaker John Boehner will watch the All-America extravaganza and yet somehow not cry.
Alonzo Bowden.
To the disappointment of millions, when Black Eyed Peas perform, Will.i.am will have a wardrobe malfunction. Fergie will stay fully dressed.
And Mo Rocca.
The entire halftime show will be viewed through the Brett Favre pants cam.
And if any of those things happen during halftime, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Roxanne Roberts, Alonzo Bowden, and Mo Rocca. Thanks to Rick Lewis, everybody at WLRN. And thanks to our fabulous audience at the Arsch Center in Miami. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.